Start with me.
Aye.
Welcome back to Rebel City Podcast in 2024. We've got
first one of the year.
Usual suspects, Matt and Dave Ways. Happy New Year, guys.
Happy New Year, mate. Been good to get back in. Assume we never get more time out of the holidays, but it's being a grown-up fucking sucks, man. Like, I sort of like had, like, you know, my first New Year where me and the missus were just like, we just staying for New Year. We've been together 20 years and it was the first that it occurred to us that we've never had a New Year's where it was just me and her. Because the
Wayne... COVID, surely.
You know, the Wayne was a bit, but... You know what I mean? Whereas now she's 19, she went out with her wee pal and ended up at her papa's and came home on the first... at 10 o'clock in the morning, like, death warmed up, and I was just like, ha! So the tables have turned quite nicely on that one. But no, that was... it was nice we changed, so it was lit, so... by gone are the days where we were like swallowing for like the 23rd to like the, you know, the second or whatever, you know what I mean? Like,
I couldn't handle that anymore mentally. No. That would break me, actually. Like, if you go and hug me there or something wrong with you now, like, do you know what I mean? I'm at that age where I'm like, you're gonna... it.
Yeah.
Wow, like, fucking hell.
You need to have like a proper special occasion, like a proper reason to actually go out for New Year these days. It's not for me.
Aye, that was the thing. I had a few folk that were like, come on down for drinks and whatnot.
The camera angle. Aye, there we go.
And I was like, aye, all right. And I'd said to yourself, I maybe popped in. Said to her, aye, we maybe popped in as well. And it got to the day, and this was like, what do you want to do? I was like, do you know what? See, if people were having actual parties, I'd let you say, if it's an actual thing, I'd be like, do you know what? Let's go do it. But it was because me and folk were just kind of like, oh, we'll just hang about. Yeah. We ended up sitting with a cheese board and old Top Gear specials. It was brilliant. So it was
a proper middle-aged hug, man.
I know. Although, see, to be honest with you, and I'm not the world's most patriotic Scot at the best of times, right? You know, I'm no into my tartan. I don't really dig kilts. And I absolutely fucking despise bagpipes. And, like, honestly, like, I don't know what we did as a nation to deserve that as, like, well, national thing, you know what I mean? Like, it seems like punishment. But coming up to the bells, obviously I've kind of, like, made a hootenanny, kind of, like, Jules Holland type fan than some of the more traditional stuff. Uh-huh. But Jules Holland this year was absolute garbage. And I was, like, he had some old school soul people in, which he always does.
Uh-huh.
Cool, but some of them are a wee bit... like, past it, you know what I mean? Like, it didn't sound great. Bands were all phenomenal and stuff, and I was like, turn it over, see what's on the other channels.
Aye.
And you get the pure, the weepy, like, acoustic versions of Caledonia, and then of the pure bagpipes and, you know, the Piper at Midnight and everything. I was just like, this is fucking cringe. I hate it.
It's even the highlight of the Hootenannies, the Sugar Babes. The reforming of the Sugar Babes. You're like, Jesus, man.
I don't even put the fucking telly on.
Were they
auto-tuning
the chorus as well? I was like, well, they're clearly singing the verses. I was like, to stay, there's no way that they are, like, the chorus was so pitch perfect. There's like, no, there's like some auto-tune or like backing track or something in play.
They'll be buried, like, for sure, but... aye, there was a couple. I mean, I was like, well, like, Josh Stone is so shite now. Like, it was like Bob Dylan. Like,
right.
You get like 2 minutes into the song and you're like, I knew recognise that song. That's how bad. That's how bad. I mean, I think they changed it up a wee bit.
I didn't even see her.
Oh, did you know?
No.
I think she was just after midnight or whatever. And it actually prompted me to turn that off. But
aye, I was the same.
You were like, ah. What's Josh Stone's hits were on Spotify going, oh, there was that one. And then it was like, I heard a lyric and I was like, that's that one?
Because her first album was all slow covers.
Right. So was like, oh, that's right. Aye, but she was like fucking 14 or 15 year old or something.
She was quite young.
Something crazy. But aye, Josh Stone, and I was like, I can't remember any of the rest of them, actually. Like, I think there was like an Irish folk band. They were brilliant, but they were just getting it loudy, do you know what I mean?
Aye.
But no, I'm with you. Like, that sort of, like, traditional Scots, see, like, that sort of, like, I'm Scottish.
Aye.
And I like rugby, and I'd eat oats.
Where's my shortbread?
I don't even know if it even exists, right,
in
real life. I think
Hogmanay it does.
It's an idea.
I think the whole world kind of wants to be a wee bit Scottish on Hogmanay. Like, there's definitely a thing. Like, I've got English colleagues, and, you know, was explaining that, like, the first is essentially, like, the unofficial national steak pie day in Scotland, and the missus has been to the butchers and added her in wee bits and bobs to things and had all the roasts and everything, and the guys were just, like, I could actually hear them salivating over the phone, and they were like, no, we could be doing with some of that down here, and you're just like, I think there is a, like, a very, hug me as well, you know, a very Scottish, I think it is actually a very Scottish word, do you know what I mean, like, but, aye, it's a wee bit too OTT for me. So it is, like, I remember the days when you would watch like an episode of Still Game and then Only an Excuse, and there would be like those three or four things that come out, like Ricky Fulton would come out once a year. But now it's like Jackie Bird and I, somebody like tearfully singing Caledonia with bagpipes on the tappet, and I'm like,
in the middle of November,
get it to fuck. You know what I mean? What? Straight in the bin.
Remember one Hug Me Nae Roonan, like a mutual friend of yours, we were sitting at Hug Me Nae, she was like, that, like, I wonder where they are. And I was like, this was filmed like 4 weeks ago. They were like, they said to me on Hug Me Nae, like, you ruined Jules Holland for me. Because I was like, Nate, actual TV's live anymore. Like, no. Surely, I mean, that's long gone, you know what I mean? And like, but it must be weird sitting on like the 15th of November in a TV studio, you know, doing the bells, like three takes of the bells. Do you know what I mean?
I seen a tweet for one of our former guests, and I think he was just a councillor now for the Labour Party in Glasgow, Kieran O'Neill. And he had the penny drop moment this year as well. When the tweet was like, I can't believe like Hug Me Nae stuff was recorded like 3-4 weeks ago. So obviously somebody's shattered the illusion for him very recently as well. You know what I mean? Like,
it's like the Slade story. They recorded, what's the Slade song?
I wish it could be Christmas every day.
Is that no, is that Slade?
Is it Slade?
Is that no Wizard?
Is it not just It's Christmas?
It's Christmas. And that's how it starts, eh?
I wish you could. Is that because that's the. They recorded that in July in LA. And they actually got like fake snow to try and make it seem Christmassy.
While they were recording it
in July. But Christmas music.
There's an old Friends episode. That's all about the fact that they go and record New Year's and do all that, like the moniker and
that's
the
moniker. Right.
The dance party.
So
thing.
That's like in the '90s. They were pretty much revealing it then. You know?
Even like the Christmas, Christmas
the
music.
We're ruining the magic.
I know. I was like looking at the charts because again, that's something I remember then as a younger guy was like, oh, it's going to be the Christmas number one sort of thing. And you know, I looked at it. It was like Mariah Carey, Elton John, and it was like
Step Into Christmas.
I like pure old school, like,
because streaming counts towards the charts now. But this actually brings me on to a point. I didn't actually share this.
Are people still making like Christmas music? Then I looked at it, it was pure, no, people are clearly not. It's like very old songs, you know. What I mean? Like,
100%. We were listening to like now Christmas hits, you know, like Christmas Day, put the Christmas songs on. Oh, you're cooking Christmas dinner. And it was literally everything was like 40, 50 year old. But I didn't put this in the group chat. Something that I was actually like thinking, maybe bring this up in the podcast, that I seen an article that was saying that for the first time, well, it's hard to track music consumption, especially before streaming. Impossible. Like, you basically consume the
radio. How many
radio,
plays and stuff, aye?
You consume the radio or whatever. But for the first time, I think, in sort of statistics, so let's just say since streaming stats started coming about, that 75% or over 75% of all music that's consumed is now over 25 years old.
I mean, I can believe that given that I'm still like rotten.
Think about yourself. So I was saying that. I was like, I'm going to go in, looked at my Apple Music, and it was like the last five played were like Foo Fighters, Nirvana, Ocean Colour Scene, Seahorses, and Oasis. And I was like, my Spotify rap is like ancient. Like, that's depressing. But I actually was like, I'm going to go and have a wee look at some content run about this. There's loads of guys out there that are like, they just talk about like new music and stuff like that. And I clicked on a couple of YouTube videos. And one of the guys that was talking about it particularly, he reckons that because everybody's a total slave to the algorithm. So his point was is that the best hip hop and punk, I think he used another EDM. He's like, the best versions of this is getting made right now. There's people out there, there's like 250,000 songs get uploaded to Spotify every day. It's like, there are people out there that are amazing, incredible, like producing music that would blow your mind, but nobody can find it. And the reason for that being is that he's saying that the average person is just a total slave to their algorithm.
Right.
On YouTube, Spotify.
It's comfortable.
Well, either. So he says there's a huge section of society that goes back to comfort for nostalgia. People that are watching Friends on Netflix. Why is that in the top 10? Why are me and you listening to Nirvana? Like all the stuff that we still listen to when we were teenagers, it's because it makes us feel comfortable.
Yeah.
That's what nostalgia does. It's like a comfort. But he was also saying that there are people out there who would love to find new music, but they can't find it because it gets buried in a myriad of shite, which is one thing.
Yeah.
But two, the playlists, which are supposed to be the most streamed Spotify. So this is where the market comes into it. Mm-hmm. It's like, the market will take care of itself. He's like, no, because they're all pay to play. So all these record labels, all these artists, one with the big money, will pay Spotify to get into their playlists. Aye. So even if you're getting into playlists to find new music, you're still only getting fed. And I was like, this is interesting because we are now back at the cash getting handed to the radio DJs.
Aye.
We're back there. It's just changed into a digital way, and Spotify's now the radio station, like the only radio station. But I was sort of like sitting, I was like, where do we go for here? Like, take now, Bems, for instance, we've got a bias towards him. He's been on the podcast.
Yep.
You know, he's a friend of the show. He's actually somebody that, you know, he's a friend. I'd class him as a friend. But where does somebody like, how does somebody like Bems get to where he wants to be, which is, I would imagine, like, on a global scale or a UK national scale, like touring, releasing stuff? And how did they get? I was like, what the fuck? And then I was just thinking, like, what happened the last time that this peaked? Because it's kind of peaking. And it was like independent record labels,
mm-hmm.
like the 70s, Sex Pistols, Joy Division. Like, people just started to date themselves.
Yeah.
It was like, do you know what?
That's happening.
That's happening. What I Googled it, and I was like, fuck, man, this is happening.
No artist wants to sign up to a label nowadays. They do not want to sign their rights away. They do not want to be a slave to the industry.
Yeah.
And it's also just not cool to do that anymore, I reckon. So, like, it's almost like, what was the song? You know that thrift shop song? Like, and it's like, oh, my granny's giving me like $5 to go to the thrift shop to.
No, I've never heard that.
It's an older song, but that was like the first ever song to get to like number one in the American Billboard charts
mm-hmm.
as an independent, completely independent song.
Right.
But it's now not really either. Like pushed out, even though it was like huge at the time. You'd recognize it.
I'll find it if we held up.
Yeah, like nowadays, I reckon so many artists are just sticking with independent releases and like not wanting to get swallowed up by labels, like not in the same way. Maybe there's independent labels that, like, you know what I mean, are a smaller entity.
I've got no opinion like that like I said, when I went to Google and I was looking at it, that is exactly what's happening. Like, people are going back to being like, I have a label. It isn't like, mm-hmm. and it's so easy for people to release and to create a record label. There was another couple of interesting things that the guy was saying that was happening. So I was like, well, that's the solution. But he was saying that then, where does that music go though? Like, independent artists, like, and he was saying like that the reemergence of like the third space. So this is like, we've spoken about this many, many times.
Okay.
Like, the first space is like your house, the second space is your work. But where is the third space? Like the pub now, like he was saying like the pub, the traditional third spaces were like the pub, the social club, blah, blah, blah. He was like, moved on for the alcohol consumption. Yeah. He's like the Seattle coffee shop culture and like that sort of thing. He's like, that's a potential third space. But he was saying for music lovers, the actual third space that he was sort of saying should emerge is the concert. But then he was also saying that because of things like average ticket pricing, the Taylor Swift phenomenon, like blah, blah, blah. It was actually like, if you ever look at this, like if you want to go and see Tool, it was like $500 a ticket to go and see Tool. Now they were playing in like an 1100 capacity venue where he brung this up. So you're like, they're playing in the Barrowlands.
Aye.
But it's so in demand on Ticketmaster that the average price of the ticket just keeps going up and up and
yeah.
up.
Yeah,
but that's still the that's still largely a musician choice there. Like, there are musicians that have refused to.
No choice on that, Dave. Like, because if the gatekeeping that goes on between the agents, the bookers, the venues, and they are all signed up to Ticketmaster. So
But there have been artists that have said, like, they've seen how much their tickets have gone. I'm trying to think.
There's been a few recently where they've tried to keep them.
There's a few where they've said, no, this is not happening.
Is it The Cure or something like that? I tried to keep their tickets at 20, 25 quid
like
and then...
Sheeran or someone like that.
Went after them, not right.
Sheeran. Like, someone...
I wouldn't accept,
artists,
like, resellers and stuff like that.
So, I think, like, you know, Robert Smith and The Cure have clout. Ed Sheeran has clout.
Yeah.
But if you're Bems... You have no clout. No. And if you want to tour, you need an agent. And if you want the agents in the pockets of the promoters are in the pockets of the Live Nation, and then they're signed up to Ticketmaster.
Some of the gigs have become... And the one thing for me is we used to like gig all the time, like go to, you know, just unsigned shit and tune all the time. Like, I don't feel that scene is still what it once was, you know what I mean? Like, and then... You go outside that, Barrowlands and, you know, the Callan or whatever the fuck it's called, the Academy, are all right. I mean, I love Barrowlands, it's brilliant. The Academy was always a bit hit and miss for me. But so much now is because these artists are no making money out of Spotify, they're getting paid a fraction of a penny on every play. The live side of things has become, and it all has been a big cash generator for bands, but like, it's become so big now that how do they resist places like the Hydro? How do they resist these bigger venues? But they're so corporate and so sterile. And like, we went to see Muse, and I remember seeing Muse in the Barras and, you know, Tea in the Park and all these places where it was a really like sort of visceral experience. Like, you were like in the moment and enjoying that. And then with somewhere like the Hydro, it's like corporate counterculture. You know what I mean? Where everything's all nice and clean. And everything's on straight lines, and everybody forms nice orderly queues for your pints and your coats and your taxis, and it's all very civilised, you know what I mean? Like, uh-huh. And it takes a wee bit of the edge off it for me, because, I don't know, like, I love my gigs grimy and sweaty and covered in lager, and just, it doesn't seem to be a thing anymore.
I went to a gig in December, I took my brother to a Sofar gig. Have you ever heard of Sofar?
No.
It's a company that's been around for like, I think it's quite a while now, maybe like 15 years plus possibly. And I've been to one in London, and now I went to one in Edinburgh. I took my brother for his birthday. And Sofar is a site where you buy the tickets, they tell you the general location, but they don't give you the actual location.
Okay.
And then they don't tell you who the artists are until, so you get like the location 3 days before.
So kind of like guerrilla gigs?
Basically. And there have been occasions where Ed Sheeran and people like that have rocked up to these, but obviously that's few and far between. And they're held quite regularly. So I took my brother, and it was just three Edinburgh, well, two were English, but they live in Edinburgh, and the other one was which is uncommon. You wouldn't have thought that would be a possibility, but and the other guy was from Edinburgh, and they were fantastic. Like, they all did acoustic sets. So I think one of them normally does electric, had a bit of keys and stuff.
Right.
But it was good, and it was inside a shop. So it was inside what would have normally been a kind of high-end surfing, clothing, hiking kind of shop, and people could sit on the floor or whatever, and they had some free beers and things like that as well. So it was a good atmosphere, and it was nice because, like, we were worried it was just going to be people singing hymns and Christmas shit. we're like, shit, this is quite close to Christmas. We're like, hope it's not fucking hymns.
It's
and
like
shit.
The musical equivalent of one of those like mystery box subscriptions. You know, where you pay like 10 quid a month and they send you just a random box of shit every week. You know what I mean?
But it gives them much more license to have location wise, because someone might look at a gig online with a ticket price. Tickets weren't that much, they were like 20 quid or less. Each, and it was a good night, free drink and things like that as well, but it gives you much more capacity to like use the third spaces and sort of enter into different areas that maybe wouldn't have previously been used. Because it was the same when I went to London, there's people that use like almost like an Airbnb, but it's like, or their gaff, like, but it seemed like it was just a really nice sort of yoga studio. So there are things out there that are trying to maybe break those walls, and that one's been around for
so
a while.
So maybe, like, who were there any new artists you were listening to last year?
Last year on my Spotify, there's one artist. Have you heard of Pete and Baz?
No, they sound a bit like Chaz and Dave.
Bit like Chaz and Dave, and they're probably of a similar age, but they're literally like these two old geezers that do like grime rap and shit, and it's fucking hilarious. It's fucking right, brilliant.
They're a comedy
they're
act.
Doing a gig, and they're actually, if you want to, I'm actually bought tickets to go and see them at SWG3 in March. So
Chaz and Dave of grime. Like, nice. What about you? Anybody?
Man, I'm trying to think if I've listened to, some stuff on like YouTube, and people have recommended stuff to me. Do you know what I mean? And like people have said, oh, you should listen to this, and I'm trying to recall anything, but nothing significant, nothing that I could actually be like, I'm really into them. Like I said, my whole thing's like Red Hot Chili Peppers and just shit I've been listening to for years, which, and the whole reason why I ended up going down this rabbit hole is I want to change that. I really want to fucking change that.
So my top two, as always, was Rage Against the Machine and Muse on my Wrapped, but so I checked Young Fathers. Heard quite a bit about them. I think sort of middle of the year they booked a couple of nights at the Barras and people were just like, fucking, this mob are incredible. And then the album Heavy was the latest one. But then we've got the Scottish Independent Musicals, the SEMA Awards, and they won Album of the Year this year for Heavy.
Yep.
But I think they've won it like 2 or 3 years in a row. So like, they're obviously quite an established band within like the Scottish, you know, scene sort of thing. But it sounds as though they're starting to break through. But
yeah,
with a name like Heavy and Young Fathers, and then seeing some of the pictures, I was expecting quite heavy music. You know what I mean? Like, I was expecting it to be kind of like rocky, but there's just so many like cool, different melodic things going on with it. Like, bits of rap, bits of soul and pop, and it kind of like sways and just kind of goes all over the place, and it's like very, very good. So if I was saying
my new
music 2023 was definitely Young Fathers.
And you should be able to go in iPlayer. I think the only thing that I've ever really engaged with any sort of like you know, time to it was watching them at Glastonbury. I've never watched a video, but I caught their set at Glastonbury. So you should be able to go on BBC iPlayer, and they are absolutely phenomenal live, like incredible.
I'd definitely like to check them out live, but the album's fucking great. So it is, so I would say that would be my one exception to like Rage Against the Machine. We'll take a look at take a look at some of the bits and bobs for last year, and then a wee bit of a look ahead to the year in front of us, and maybe just with this one, just put it out as a one-off sort of special before we get back to our normal, you know, episodic bits and bobs.
Nope, you have to cut it into 15
different bits and all. No, it'd be nice to put a full episode just at the start of the year. I mean, we did have a list of stuff. I think going back to the start of 2023, there's the one that kind of like jumped out to me was the Brazilian insurrection, you know, with Bolsonaro, or whatever his name is, the Brazilian Trump lost his election, and then his supporters basically stormed the Brazilian, you know, parliament or senate or whatever it is, in a very similar way to like Trump supporters did. And there was a very much kind of like, what do we want? And they were like, like, okay, go home. And they were all like, all right. You know,
is this
what I mean?
The same guy that like wiped their national debt off the board by like bringing all of their trades within Brazil? They stopped using outsourcing.
I don't think so. I think he made an absolute rip roaring cunt of it, and he'd run off, and he's now like in exile in like Florida somewhere. You know, which again is very Trumpian. You know what I mean? Like, and I think one of the reasons why they harked back to it was because we've also now got this banger that has like won the election at the start of this year, or end of last year in Argentina, and I don't know if you've seen this guy. So this guy is running about with fucking chainsaws on the campaign trail, basically had said that he was going to abolish almost every government department there was because Argentinian inflation was in like triple digits. So obviously people want a change, you know what I mean? Like, and they've voted. This guy like openly talks about how he takes political advice from his dead dog. Right, this guy is a fucking throbber, you know what I mean? Like, he's mental. If you've not seen him, look him up. And he's one of these like anti-establishment guys, and same as Bolsonaro was, same as Trump was. But then the Argentinian people are already out on the street protesting this guy's policies like 3 weeks in after his election. And this is the thing that kind of like ties them all together.
Messi will be president in weeks.
probably do a better job than this guy, to be honest with you, because he's literally fucking off his nut. He does like characters. Like, he's got a superhero alter ego. This is the guy who's like in charge of Argentina. He's got like an alter ego where he dresses up as a superhero and shit. Right, okay. So he does that. And the Argentines were that desperate for change that they've voted this guy in. Same as the Brazilians who were desperate for change, and Americans who were desperate. Us with Brexit, you know, Brits who were desperate for change. Like,
there's 8 billion people on this planet. How the fuck do we end up with these people in power? Well, I don't understand.
What I don't get is how we don't learn from the mistakes that these other guys have made, because I can get that the world is like a fast changing place and that people want like political change and alternatives to the sort of homogeneity that they get. You know, what's the difference for us between Sunak and Starmer? Like, the colour of their tie, basically. Uh-huh. You know what I mean? Like, so I get that people out there want change, but like, I think we need to learn some lessons here, because when we got Trump in, you know, America racked up $8 trillion worth of debt, and, you know, Bolsonaro has made a country, there's been insurrections, this guy's new there. Like, we need to look at these guys and go, we understand that people want change, but like, I think we need to be a bit more selective about the type of change that we want, because I don't... Is there an example of any of these guys getting in anywhere and it actually working out well for people? Like, I don't think there is.
Well, it does work out well for people, just know us. Trump, we could take Trump as an example, because I don't really know much about, I'm really ignorant on South American politics outside of, like, you know, Narco and, like, Pablo Escobar, do you know what I mean? And, yeah, like, Netflix documentaries. So I know that the guy in Brazil was, like, you know, Le Pen or Boris or, yeah, Trump, you know, like, so, but I think, like, if we take Trump for an example, the right people, it works for the right people. Like, you just announced yesterday that the top 67 people richest in the planet now have more money than the rest is. So that is
all combined,
67 people who have more wealth than 8 billion. So that's why we end up with these people. Nah, and then, but the problem is that guys like Trump are financed by the same people who are going to profit. Like, so it is change, but it's not the change that we want. Like, I hate to harp on about the guy, and he was far from perfect, right? But the change that I wanted was Corbyn.
Mm-hmm.
But he's not in the pockets of the media. You know, the Rupert Murdochs, the, yeah, Daily Mails, like, he's not in their pocket, because he would be getting the actual change that we're talking about. Mm-hmm. No, the change that, you know, instead of the top 250 people having more money than 8 billion, now we've got the top 67. Like, yeah, that's what they want. They want the concentration of wealth. They want to, this is what, you know, the whole Michelle Moon, you know, look around the planet of what happened during COVID or any disaster.
People just lining their pockets.
Just lining their pockets, and it works, like, for the right people. And I think that this is...
The cunts that were shorting airplane stock after 9/11 and stuff like that.
100%.
Like, there's always somebody there to, like, capitalise.
100%. Or people that invest in, you know, pick any ballistic missiles company around the planet, but they know when to put their money into that. So as I hear what you're saying, it's like the change that the average person votes for doesn't happen, because they're thinking, oh, you know, it's like the South Park thing, here comes the change, and it's like, well, what actually happens? And
you end up with a superhero running about with a chainsaw running your
country. That is that the type of change you want? But I think that they have changed politics and they have changed the world.
Mm-hmm.
They've totally changed it. It's changed since, you know, Reagan. And it's, you know, it's maybe ebbed and flowed a wee bit backwards and forwards, but ultimately the change has happened that they want, which is the complete and utter privatisation of the planet. That is the change that they want, and that is the change that we have been given, and we get conned into voting for these messiahs, like these strongmen, like totems of, like, I'll fix it, I know it today. I think the problem that one of the big issues that we've got is that people think that these guys know what they're doing, or that there's the uncomfortable truth that these people don't know what they're doing, and none of this is really that planned out.
Oh.
Some of it is, some of it isn't, and, you know, and
we're touching
really,
some of the Trump stuff.
It's very complicated, but, like, a lot of it is.
A lot of that, well, you know, I have got all the best people and all the best words, and, like, some of the mistakes that he's made, even in his end defence recently, have been absolutely wild. But we'll get to some of that later on. I think the next one, I don't know if any of you said any, but, like, I'm trying to think back to, like, early on last year, what other stories where I was like, fucking hell, and I don't know that we maybe necessarily touched on it as ourselves at the time, but do you remember the fucking the Chinese airborne carry on, and like basically UFO kind of like hysteria kind of peaked at a very similar time.
The disclosure.
So we had like a kind of weather balloon. It was a Chinese spy weather balloon.
It was a spy balloon.
Well, whatever it was, floated. It had been in another part of the world deliberately, and then accidentally caught a wind, and ended up over America. And by the point that it got over America, all the bits and bobs on it that were used for spying were already dead. You know what I mean? Like, so it wasn't actually like spying on America, but it may have well have been a spy balloon prior to that. And like, I don't know if you remember like some of the hysteria around it, like the, like, particularly in, like, American... I watch quite a bit of the American news channels, like, via YouTube and stuff like that. And, like, Fox and all these guys were going after that as if China was literally, like, invading the United States with this, like, airborne. And there was, like, 4 or 5 days of, like, pure, like, white-hot, like, boiling discourse about whether or not shoot it down. And then they eventually shot it down. And then, like, 2 days later, another two balloons through whatever, like, flew in and it all started out again. But then, like, the bit of me that I've thought, oh, fucking hell, man, that was mental, was that at the White House, you had the White House press secretary, like, having to openly go, like, no, this is not aliens.
Uh-huh.
And you're like, what the fuck?
There was a simultaneous sort of disclosure of information of what looks like some sort of advanced military tech, if it even exists at all, whether or not what we're seeing is real, and blah 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 blah, and like I sort of get involved.
Sorry, mate, did I move there?
I get involved in a bit of the sort of like, I tried to get involved in a bit of the sort of discourse or just the coverage around like what was being said, who was saying it, and stuff like that, and it's just, it's so strange and it's so weird, and the people that are coming out and talking about it. So that was happening all simultaneously.
It just leaves questions as to, right, what are they trying to get you to not pay attention to? Mm-hmm. Like, when the media blows something up like that, you're just like, was that not around the time of like that train that crashed that like poisoned a whole city and it's like, oh wait, there's something in the sky. What's that? Don't look at the fucking train. Uh-huh.
Aye, people like, I think I seen a video of people cheering like a fucking what the F-16.
It was like a fighter jet, an actual like a
shot
70 billion pound fucking jet to shoot down this one balloon, and there was like people like cheering as if like America, fuck yeah, and you're like, it's a balloon, like, you don't need to calm down. And the funniest bit for me was pure, how does Biden allow us to be so insecure and blah 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 blah? It turns out there was like half a dozen of them during Trump and nobody gave a fuck, because it was just like, this is just a thing that happens.
It's something that happens, you know. Aye, I mean? this is like this sort of weird thing, isn't it, like that people, and I think predominantly with things like specifically with TikTok, mm-hmm. now people like more than ever and more every day have access to like spreading information.
Aye.
And when they see something like that, I mean, don't get me wrong, like if I was to see something floating about you, I'd be like, what the fuck is that?
Aye.
And we live in a world where every media outlet is basically stoking anxiety in people to get them to click on shit and preying on people's emotions, that no wonder people are like petrified of a wayward weather balloon, and then cheering like what probably cost them like, you know, 10 cancer patients fucking treatment to go up and blow down like a fucking missile balloon out the sky.
And,
I mean,
the biggest conspiracy, it probably just said made in China, like which is the thing, like, yeah, why are you surprised by that?
But it was also quite funny, as you say, to see like that disclosure thing happening where, you know, most people were going like, it's a fucking balloon, and then there was like actual American like military types being like, pure, but there's also like shit in the sky all the time and we don't know what it is. And you're like, what? You know what I mean? We're talking about a balloon here, and he's like, I know, but there's some shit up there that we don't know about. And you're just like, pick a time, guy. It got super weird.
You're not doing the mental health of people any good with this chat. But
let's deal with the balloon first.
But that's the reality, dude. Like, that, this is what this sort of weirdly sort of circles back to, like what we were talking about with Trump, is that people will assume and do think that like the American government have complete control over their airspace mm-hmm. and blah, blah, blah. And it's just not, it is true to a certain extent, aye. But it's not that true. Sometimes shit comes in and out of their airspace and they don't know what it is. And they just sort of, they just, or whatever,
there's parts of their government that are no admitting to knowing what it is. And you know what I mean? Well, that's probably it. That's the most one that's more likely for me is that it's us and, you know,
we just some can't form tell, or other. Can't talk
and,
about it.
Nah, it's just people somewhere who are like, no, we're just not talking about it.
Don't you know talk
I mean?
About
like,
that.
And other people are like, what the fuck is this? In sort of real positions, like what we've seen. So I, what else did we have early on in the year? I don't know, like fucking Mr. Let the Sink In.
What was that?
Fucking Elon rocking up and buying Twitter and well, coming in with like, let that sink in and try to do the meme as he walked in the door on the first day and everybody was like, oh, you're a prick.
I don't.
Is that just this year that you bought?
It's been ongoing. The
and he changed it to X and
the
everything.
Buying of like Twitter's been something that he's been trying to do for like 18 months before he actually like right. got charge it.
He tried to get out of it, didn't he?
He did at one point in time.
Forced to take it.
He did at one point in time, but it's interesting. I spoke to somebody in December who, how would I describe them? Not to pigeonhole them, but they have 100% been indoctrinated into some form of like, you know, cultural fascism of like men should be strong
okay.
and women should be in the kitchen, but they're sort of on a light version of it, you know, like.
Like the trad wife.
They're in a sort of like, you know.
Well, they're displaying light versions of it, yeah. but they might secretly be.
Well, that's what I'm sort of saying is that on an open forum, they are not saying that. When the mics are off, they're saying something a wee bit like that. But you can sort of, like, let's make a conclusion. Let's just jump to it and fuck it and go, I've got a feeling that this person thinks that the woman's job is in the kitchen. Do you know what I mean?
Okay.
Like, and that they've been engaging me a wee bit too much, Andrew Tate, and yes. blah, 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 right? And he was like, you know, I was like,
any
I'm starting
Andrew
to think
too
that
much Andrew Tate.
If you look at, well, if you look at the Saudi money, if you follow the money, you know, follow the money of like Silicon Valley and Tesla and Elon Musk and who actually bought Twitter and who financed it and stuff, I'm like, I'm starting to think that maybe he's bought it to tank it and to ruin it mm-hmm. and to actually muddy it even more, because maybe people were getting too close to certain truths in the world through the open sharing of decent information. And this guy and was like, what's making you say that? And I was like, well, if I'm not on my follow page, if I go to my For You page, it is a fucking bin fire yeah. of anti-trans, racist, right-wing nut jobs. And yep. and the amount of disinformation about Palestine, Israel, blah, all of these things
and
is wild. It's wild. And so
porn,
I'm starting to like...
constant.
And things like porn. Like, and I've got the over 18 thing, so I don't see that and unless you know, it comes up with a wee grade thing, man, and I don't click on it. But I was like, I'm starting to lean into that he's purposely fucking tanked this and the way he's went on about it. Now, my point is that he was like, well, I think since Elon bought it, it's got wildly better. You know, you're not seeing all these leftists and blah, blah, blah. And I was just sort of like, so to me, and we are both from Glasgow, both, you know, middle-aged men, but in the same demographic, I'm like, my opinion and my whole thought on this is that he's bought this and he's threw it in the bin, but this guy's like, no, he's made it way better for everybody. And I was just sort of like shocked, you know what I mean? See, that way where that kind of shocks you and then you realise, aye, but everybody doesn't think the same as you. And but also, maybe that guy loves that there's new porn everywhere.
Aye.
And loves that people are being yep. like sort of like that towards it. It was just really interesting. But that is really like my sort of like uneducated opinion is that he's bought it to tank it, to just
I mean,
drive
when you
it into
see
the
how
grunt.
Like badly it has went, because I mean, fair enough, as you say, your semi-fascist friend or whatever is
cultural fascism. They don't want to kill people, but they
know you anyway.
Aye, exactly.
Or no, only.
But like Handmaid's Tale.
Aye.
And they watch too much Joe Rogan.
Right. Okay. I'm with you now. So, like, the market, the you know, the financial services and whatever else that you know took $44 billion and essentially flushed it in the. I mean, that's why he was forced to buy it, because he made this ridiculous offer, and even Twitter were like, geezer, that's way more than we're worth. Like, geezer. And then he went, oh, no, I was only, joking. And they were like, nah, legal documentation's here, like, get it, give the money. And he's always had to been then forced to buy it, you know what I mean? Like, but the decisions that he's made since then, especially with regards to, like, changing the sort of blue tick stuff to, like, disenfranchise all the sort of legacy media and allow anybody with £8 a month, you know, a level of... no authority.
Verification?
No authority, but, like...
Exclusivity.
Status or whatever it is that allows them to promote whatever the fuck they want. You know, it's wiped... I think last week they were saying it's wiped some, like, 73% off the share value. So he's lost whatever it is, the best part of $30 billion out of Twitter since taking over less than, or about a year ago, let's say. All the verification, all the fact-checking has all been gutted, and it's just an absolute cesspool, you know what I mean? Like, as I say, the porn thing is just getting silly. I had the viral thread of the guys that, you know, this girl was, like, 300 metres from you, you know, like, give her a, you know, click here. And then the guy's like, well, I went a mile in the other direction and she was still 300 kilometres from me, so, like, is this bitch following me? You know what I mean? Like, then they had this, like, thread of guys all being, like, aye, it has now just became this, like, running joke. And then he's at, you know, press conferences going, if you think you're going to blackmail me by withholding ad revenue, like, go fuck yourself. And then he's like, the guy's like, what? You know, like, what are you saying? And he's like, I literally go fuck yourself.
I think Disney...
He thinks he's been some sort of mad, like, digital cowboy or whatever it is. And then in actual fact, he's just like, by every tangible metric, you have made this so much worse. And as you say, it has been so consistently made worse that it's not unbelievable that it would be deliberate. But then I think, again, that's probably giving the guy way more credit than he's actually due.
Way too much credit than what he's due.
You know what I mean?
He turned up at the fucking Mexican-American border with a cowboy hat on, so he actually does think he's a fucking cowboy. And he is a cowboy, just know the type of cowboy that we're talking about, you know? It's an interesting story. It's the way that he's acted, it's not even just like what he's done with the money and what he's done with the platform and how he's treated the platform, but the way that he acts on the platform as well, it is very Trumpian. And I think he fancies himself maybe as some sort of, like, you know, I don't know, all these guys have all got messiah complexes and they all think that they're here to do something that's really important.
I think he's him, Trump, these people who are, like, owning or starting their own social media platforms look at it very much in the way that guys like Rupert Murdoch look at their newspapers. This is the forum in which ideas will be shared and sort of propagated in future, the way would have been the case over the last 100 years by a newspaper. Now, newspapers still have a place, because if they didn't, these massive companies wouldn't be running them at a loss all over the world, because they still influence people. But I think guys like Musk and Trump thought, I'll get my own social media platform and that I'll be the kind of 21st century media baron, you know what I mean? Like, and I'll be the one who dictates and steers the conversation and you know, the ideas that are out there. You know, bringing back guys like Alex Jones and, you know, begging Trump. Trump's
polls?
Contractually obliged to be on his own Truth Social platform. Uh-huh. That in itself has lost $73 million since starting. Like, these are, again, like newspapers, these are not making these guys money. These are being run at huge losses. But these guys clearly believe that they'll peddle the level of influence that will provide them whatever it is they need for their egos. You know what I mean? Like,
I don't disagree with you, mate.
Aye.
What else did we have?
Russia. That was interesting. I can't kind of remember. That's kind of no Russia and Ukraine per se, but I can't remember. It wasn't the year, kind of middle of the year.
You talk about
the coup.
The fact that they had, well, it was not just a coup.
The Wagner group.
They basically lost their mercenaries, which is kind of like the people that you should lose last. Like, they lost them. The mercenaries turned against them, and then he was in an airplane crash. I'm like, oh, I hope there's no Russians out of our 300 listeners.
I'm not going to say that Putin actually killed anybody because I'm planning on getting on a plane in the immediate future.
So this was the Wagner, like the
aye. So they are mercenaries.
They were like a militia,
ex-Russian military militia, who are basically still like the one of the strong arms of the Russian government. You know what I mean? They're active all across Africa doing Putin's dirty work. And I think certain places in Asia and, you know, across Eastern Europe, like Belarus and stuff like that, or Belarus, sorry.
Wherever the contract takes them.
Aye. And he wasn't happy with paying conditions for his guys, was it? And decided that he was going to just turn all his tanks around for the Ukraine and just basically start marching them towards Moscow.
Headed towards Moscow.
And then you had like 2 days where the Russian army was just kind of like, aye, mate, and you come. And I think it got quite, they were like 200 miles from Moscow at one point.
And I think
he was getting his picture taken with like senior Russian officials and like military officials. And it looked like he was basically like accepting their surrender, or at least their cooperation on, you know, getting to where they were in Moscow. And then, you know, there was chat of Putin sending body doubles out here, there and everywhere on planes, so nobody knew where he was. And he had left Moscow, he had left St. Petersburg, nobody knew, you know, was he hiding in other countries and, you know, that type of thing. And then all of a sudden, it just stopped. And this guy, Prigrovnin or whatever, came to some sort of agreement, allegedly.
This is what I was going to say. I think they kind of bribed him to stop, didn't they? They threw money at him, and then when he was like, right, okay, and then it was like a month later, the guy was dead.
Aye, went and parked him up in Belarus with one of these guys who's, the president's very Putin-friendly. I'm not sure that he maybe has a lot of choice, but I think he's like, this guy's in Belarus, he fashions himself as like Europe's last official dictator. So this is where they parked Wagner while they were like, right, cool. And there was like weird pictures of him in like tents, and you know, it became a like, how has he managed to get away with that? Like, you know, you're like, Putin doesn't put up with this shit. Like, what has he done that he can just walk away and there'll be no repercussions? And I think we were all a bit like, there's going to be repercussions.
Just keep an eye on this
guy. There's going to be repercussions.
Uh-huh.
And then one day I'm sitting there in the office and in the corner of the BBC news pings, and it's like, Guy Prigrovnin's plane just dropped out the sky, and you're like, oh, well, there you go. You know what I mean? Like,
aye, absolutely.
But there was a moment in time, and I don't think it was change that would have been positive change, but there was like a moment where I think the whole world was like, fuck, man, like,
aye, have we,
this
have,
is happening.
Like you were saying, I mean? Like, earlier on, when are we going to learn from these mistakes? When are we going to stop cheering military coups with leaders that we don't like, replacing them with even worse people? Like that 10 and 15 years we're having to go in and sort out. Do you know what I mean? And like,
surely the lesson is marching on Moscow. That's the one that's been repeated so many
like
times.
It's like, how many times are you going to march on Moscow and come up a cropper? Like, just don't do it. Like,
I think what was interesting was that you know, we're talking about like invading Russia and how, you know, the Romans and fucking
Napoleon,
everybody, I think,
Genghis
Khan through Hitler. I get absolutely, it ended their actual regime, like trying to thing me. But I think what was interesting was that they had to kind of resort to paying the guy off. Like, I think that's telling that they didn't. I think if they could have just fucking flattened that guy, they'd have done it.
That's
power.
Part of their army. They wanted to keep the guys. They just needed the head cut off, and then they'll he's then replaced, and they've got still a massive bit of their army, which they needed.
I think it shows you how vulnerable Moscow actually is because of what's going on in Ukraine, what's going on in other parts of the... Because Russia aren't just fighting a war in Ukraine. They're fighting them in different locations. Like, but it shows you how actually vulnerable, you know, that they are. I mean, how many soldiers did the guy have? Do we even...
I think it's like tens of thousands.
Tens of thousands.
They are like the shock troops. They're like not the Russian army, but the Russian army.
I bet there's something like fucking
what, be a
8 million Russian soldiers in Ukraine, something like on the front line. Something crazy.
No, there's not well, million.
But with sure, the, there's been loads of conscription, so there has, so I don't know, there might be people, but I don't know if they're like trained soldiers. And also
the numbers, will be,
me, you know,
the numbers will be way overinflated, like if they're coming out of Moscow. They'll yeah. be saying
right.
that there's...
I was just a spitball, just thinking about it.
They were struggling, well, there was times this year where they were struggling to get guys.
And there's
people,
been waves of conscription.
And people have been, men have been leaving Russia left, right and centre.
Yep, surrendering the minute they
pull up. They pull on like Crimeans and like the Balkan states basically to yep. like fucking shore things up, but the mercenaries pay, like they could be anyone, it could be like, it doesn't really matter, like it could be anyone from South Africa when they've been down there.
Aye, just because they're just working for the Russians troops, doesn't mean they are themselves Russian.
600,000 troops or something like that.
Aye.
But, I mean, see, to be honest, like I know a couple of guys that are ex-forces, and they've said that there are sways and sways of ex-military guys for America and Britain that are in Ukraine fighting without any sort aye. Of like, they shouldn't be there, yeah. basically. So we're doing the same thing, like, aye. You know what I mean? And it's like that type of thing where
that was quite
we have our own
at the start, yeah.
militia or our own sort of like, you know, like sort of dark
that's just
army.
I think that's just guys and folk that just like... just want to
they're just a lot of them are civilians
experience
like this
well,
was...
I don't think all of the people that are going over from Britain are 100% like for a particular cause or for against a particular force. I think a lot of people go over there
because they just want to fight,
yeah or they're paid to paid, mm-hmm. or like if it's ex like military or ex like, you know, from the UK, then a lot of them will be paid.
Well, wait, I mean, like you're talking about the cause.
Like you say, it's the same as... It's the same.
If you're talking about like the cause, did like, was it no something like 13 ex-SAS guys caught being armoured guards for a military dictator in India or something like that? Yeah. You know what I mean? So they don't give a fuck. Like the average person doesn't really care about the cause as long as it's like, you know, this pays for your living. If it takes care of your sort of low rung of like food, you know, for your kids and blah, 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 people will put shit to one side and go there. And there's a part of me is like, I don't really blame you, you know, in that regard. And like you're saying, there will be people that are just like, oh, I want to go in and experience being in a war, but I'm not getting anywhere near a fucking army.
No.
Like, I'm not getting through training. Yeah. I'm not getting through the bullying or you know, like basically the introduction that you get. I just go there. Give me some shit and I'm going to go and see if I enjoy it.
I've seen a few articles of folk that went out and were like, get me the fuck out of here, like pretty much instantly, where the shock of what the actual
like
reality
the
of war is.
Joined ISIS
aye,
and
that
were
type
like
of thing.
Begging to come back.
Aye. So there's been that as well, but aye, there was a mixture of civilians, ex-service personnel. It's quite a big deal about it. I think they tried to pitch them in almost the kind of like international brigade style, you know what I mean? When obviously it's maybe a slightly different situation, but...
Things in that front have went really quiet.
Time of year.
Aye, the time of year and did anything else happen?
To be fair, it's not gone that quiet.
They blew up the ship, didn't they? Aye, a couple of weeks ago or something. There's a Russian warship
in Crimea.
And the Ukrainians are claiming that they blew it up. There's footage of it exploding and shit, but again...
Whether or no they did it and...
But there's also been retaliation to that as well. Right. So like the Russians have hit back with like some big strikes on cities and stuff like that. But I think ground movement around the winter time in Kiev, like around Ukraine and Russia, kind of dies down quite a lot. But I imagine air strikes...
It's always a bad idea
like
to invade. You know what I mean? Like,
but it's okay because Israel are doing plenty of movement. So
yeah.
That was my point about like the sort of like going quiet is that it's sort of all the attentions went to Israel and Palestine.
Yeah.
I think as it should, you know.
No, definitely. We've been into that in recent weeks. I'm more reluctant to dive back into it again, to be honest with you.
What else happened during the year?
The Queen died, we got a new king, probably bring it on to my UK level. Seen the thing last week where Charles was behind the scenes documentary, blah, blah, blah. The coronation and all the rehearsals and...
Oh, did they?
So there was like a thing released over Christmas and New Year and it was like a behind the scenes it all happening, all the rehearsals, and they took sections of like Buckingham Palace and like... basically made it up to be like Westminster Abbey so that they could like practice at home for like hours. The interior of Buckingham Palace to like Westminster Abbey.
So how much that cost is?
Who knows, man?
Mate, he's had that for years. He's been practicing for fucking 80 years, man.
And there was a bit where he's talking to William was putting one of his fucking, you know, capes on or whatever the fuck, and William has to like button him up, and Charles is actually like, I can't do it with these fucking sausage fingers.
Oh wow.
And you're like, well, at least he's got that level of like self-awareness that even he knows people are like, what the fucking Nicky has on, by the way. But I actually couldn't like button up. So I'm assuming it's like a legit medical thing, but they are still like fucking big fat links. You know what I mean? Like, we also had him, what was the thing with Sunak, where Sunak get into it for no reason with the fucking Greek Prime Minister about the Elgin marbles or whatever it was.
Did he not just patch him? He patched the... Did the Greek Prime Minister not come over and then Sunak was because this was going to be on,
this was going to be on the agenda, and he meant to look the big man about, you know, I'm tough. I don't know why I have this conversation, so I'll just cancel the meeting and go and do other things.
Kier Starmer went and met him or something.
Kier Starmer went and met him and was like, I just told him no. Like, he wanted to speak about the Elgin marbles, and I was like, nah, I'm not talking about that. And that's how you.
What is the Elgin marbles?
It's something we stole.
Aye, shit we stole.
Shit
that
we
is
stole
now,
in history.
And they want it back.
Right,
it's okay. I think it's part of like the coronation and stuff. It's one of these symbols of the monarch, if you get me. Uh-huh, like the Stone of Destiny and stuff like that. You know what I mean? Okay. It was stolen for the Parthenon, like whatever, hundreds of years ago. And the Greeks have been like, fucking gives our shit back for like a couple hundred years, and the Brits have just been like, go fuck yourself. If we give you stuff back, we need to give everybody stuff back.
Exactly.
Then we'll have more museums, we'll have nothing. You know what I mean? Like, is that?
It's funny that.
But then.
Our shared history.
Then Chuck came out and went to the fucking G20. No, the COP. The, you know, the climate thing.
Where they all flew in on private jet.
Greek tie. Because his dad was Greek.
Right.
So, you know, obviously, like, the Duke or whatever the fuck his name was, Edinburgh.
So he was a Greek prince.
He was a Greek prince, right? So obviously, like Charlie, as well as being the English monarch, is like half Greek. You know what I mean? Like, so Sunak dissed the fucking Greek prime minister, and then like 3 days later, the King of England was at a fucking international event with a tie emblazoned with Greek flags. Is there like a fuck you to Sunak? And you're like,
I mean, good. I mean, I was like, they're good for him, but no, do you know what? Fuck him.
Very different to his mother, but in terms of his approach, because we were like, what kind of kings is he going to be? You know, and it seems as though, even though it's quite petty,
he's clearly a king that nobody can give a fuck about.
No, we don't, I know, but I'm just saying it was one of the events of the year, and obviously I remember when we had the conversation at the time, we were like, I wonder how he's going to differ from her. And we did say, look, well, he's actually quite politically minded, and there's been a few instances since then where he's stuck his nub in where it's, you know, traditionally no wanted. You know what I mean?
I watched that, and I have engaged with zero of anything that the guy has done, so I don't care. But I can't remember what I was watching, but it showed you like an interaction. It was like a press call, and it was Charles, William, and Harry. And it looked like maybe 2 or 3 years after Diana died, so maybe like the late 90s. And they were skiing, they're in all their ski stuff.
Right.
One of the press goes, like, Charles, how about you give your sons a hug? And it was honestly, it made me sad. He was like patting them on the shoulder, and like William went and hugged them, and then Harry went and hugged them, and then they kind of like hugged each other, and there was like a laugh. But it honestly, man, I was like, you know, we've spoke at length about, you know, working class men and blah, blah, blah. And like, dude, none of them have got anything on Charles if you want to be cold towards your kids, man. Like,
the stiffest of stiff upper lips.
It was horrible. It was horrible to watch. And it was really sad, like, how embarrassed they were. It looked like how the idea of a hug for their dad seemed so alien to them. Like, they were like, aye, like, that's going to fucking happen. And then his attempt to hug them was so pathetic.
How do you get a hug ring? Like,
it actually made me a bit sad. It made me sad. Like, you remember that these people are human, and that, aye, they have, you know, like, I can't imagine what type of fucking complexes these guys must have when that's your dad.
It's all their behaviour, isn't it? Like, it's not like Charles would have ever got a hug off fucking Philip.
Well, that's,
you
know, it.
So it's like, when you're born into that family...
The only thing that gets passed in that family is probably mistresses. You know what I mean?
That establishment, like fucking hell, can you imagine being born into that? Like, because, like, literally everything from day one, from the way you hold your kid to the way that you fucking dress them, like, in public or walk yeah. next to them. Everything is fucking, like, a set yeah. routine in a certain, like, thing.
Cause it's also analysed as well.
Let's talk about their... we're jumping to like the end of the year, but did you see them going to food banks?
No, and I really don't think they're the guys to go.
So, that's the point. I think Kate took the two kids. I don't even know the fuck. George, isn't it? One of them's George. And then the wee girl, she took them to a food bank and they were giving out presents to underprivileged kids, which they didn't even bring with them. It was presents that were in the food bank. So it was like, and George had wrote a letter to all, like, impoverished children.
Was he like fucking seven or something?
It's like, you're talking about self-awareness. Like, aye. The lack of self-awareness was wild. Like, wild to think that you think that this is good publicity. That's terrible publicity.
Aye.
That is absolutely like, fucking terrible
it's a bit,
publicity.
It's a bit like when Sunak was at that homeless shelter and he was giving out the food and he goes, so do you have a business? And the guy's like, nah, man, I'm homeless.
I've got a dog.
Like, and you're like, what the fuck, man, is going on?
I've got a dog in a sleeping bag. Aye. Like, that's the lack of... Like, they don't live in the real world, man. They would have been like... And do you know what? They're kids, right? And at one point in time, William and Kate were kids who were treated the same way, where they would be like, this is your duty, and do you realise that this is a real positive thing that you're doing? They will be so brainwashed.
And, maybe no Kate, because, again, her mom was an air hostess, you know what I mean? Like, my dad was a lawyer or whatever.
How the fuck did she get to fucking...
Went to uni.
How the fuck did she get to St Andrews? She's smart, maybe?
Well, I mean, I think her mum and dad made money. Her dad was like a doctor or a lawyer or something like that. You know,
right,
you know,
okay.
Like, go another generation above and I bet there's fucking lineage there. There will be.
This is what I was going to say. They know, the royal family. Cousins or something like that? Do they know need a green light every fucking...
No, I think there's, like, allowing commoners now because, like, there's, like...
Try to diversify.
You need to, like, bring some actual, like, fresh blood in, you know what I mean? Literal fresh blood.
Well, then I've got less sympathy for her then. Way less sympathy for her because from birth she has not been getting her fucking brain put left, right and centre of like, this is how you do it and this is what you're born to do and blah, blah, blah. Aye. She's lived a normal life and yet she still thinks that it's nice and, oh, look at this, this is great. And have a wee pat in the head for the people that need to come to the food bank. Fuck you. Like, genuinely, man, like, it boils my blood. Like that. Aye. Because it is not even like, see if there was a part of you that was like, oh, they gave £1 million to a food bank and they actually were trying to do something that they thought was good, but actually it's part of the problem, X, Y, and Z.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this was a total publicity stunt.
Oh,
a complete and utter, like, shameless publicity stunt at the expense of people who can't afford to feed their kids.
No, definitely.
Like, so go and burn in a fucking fire somewhere.
It's
a bit, like,
is up there with the fucking Oprah begging for... donations for Hawaii, like, and the people are just like, what the fuck?
You're like, woman, you're worth $8 billion. Like, like, you could, like, literally
you can
rebuild
the whole island. Aye. And you're like, right.
I think other nuke news, I mean, obviously, with the Sturgeon resignation, which was pretty, like, massive,
and subsequent arrest. Husband.
She passed her theory test and got arrested in the same day or something, did she know?
Like, I'm not sure. It was in that ballpark. There was very similar, like, hey, look, I just passed my theory test, and then there was like, and I'm now in the back of a police car.
But it is wild, like, when you're looking at like governmental fraud and money and shit, and you're like, right, they actually did spend it on a fucking bus and it's sitting right there, right? Uh-huh. Right, there might be something dodgy. What the fuck? Like, you've just got 2.8 billion quid go out the back door and nobody's, like, giving a shit. But, like, what the fuck? Like, come on.
At the time, I think, like, when you're doing this type of thing and you're putting stuff out and I think at the time I remember being very, like, see if something has happened that shouldn't have happened, I want accountability.
Oh,
I don't want to be sitting in that bank of, like, but look here and look at the Michelle Mons and look at... let's look at that, but see if they have embezzled... $30,000, you're like, Jesus fucking Christ, like, or whatever it was to buy a fucking camper van, like, and it's no went to the right places and blah, blah, blah. Let's have a bit of accountability. But the imbalance, like to what you're saying there, Dave, the imbalance to the coverage was fucking crazy.
Oh, aye.
They had like people pitching up outside their house in like Broomhouse, like in East End of Glasgow.
Should they move out the street because it was a disruption? She actually like was like, I need to think about my neighbours. So like I'm basically temporarily moving out of this just because you guys are here 24/7. And I she was arrested and cautioned, as was her husband and I think the party treasurer or whatever it was. But again, we're now significantly down the line on that, and there's been no charges.
Yep.
We had that similar thing as well, like, you know, the outrage about the guy who, the minister that fucking went on holiday with his kids, and the kids watched the internet on the iPad in the hotel on fucking data roaming, and it ran up 11 grand in charges. And the guy came back and went, fuck, sorry about that, and like paid the 11 grand back. And then there was, like, no joke, 3 weeks of, like, furious coverage. Let's see, if you went on the BBC website during this, like, scandal, you'd have... It was, like, fucking Watergate. So it was that it was getting treated. And I think there's quite a lot of that going on now where... last week it was Humza Yousaf's links to some charity or other, and did he personally benefit from... And it's just all, like, throwing shit at the wall to paint as negative a picture as possible, which has always been the case. But I think this last year it definitely kicked up a notch because there was talk of like impromptu referendums and all this kind of like we're going to, you know, wildcat it and stuff like that. And I think it's quite telling that, you know, the people who were at the sort of head of this movement were all almost simultaneously just kind of like taking out the game. But
It's like a kid at school who's been caught nicking, pointing and going, aye, but he nicks them too. But, like, he nicks them too. And it's just, like, the press getting diverted to these little minor cases to distract from
but what I'm saying
a
is
prime minister that's fucking robbing the place.
Aye, they're actually blowing them out of... Like, 11 grand thing, well, right? 11 grand on fucking watching shit when you're on holiday is not ideal, right? But in the grand scheme of things, 11 grand is nothing, especially when the guys went, right, look, there was a mistake here, I've paid it back.
Uh-huh.
For there to have been weeks and weeks and weeks of coverage about it. Yeah. The other week, last week, it was the finance minister released a budget and then went on holiday during the holidays. How fucking it was a front page on the Daily Record. Like, how dare this person go on holiday? You're like, it's the Christmas holidays. What are we talking about here? Uh-huh. You know what I mean? Like, why is that front page news? And I think there's been that thread through quite a number of SNP related things in the course of the year, starting with Sturgeon and continuing on. I don't know what else we got. I mean, we never touched on it a lot during the year because I could come in here and talk about it every week and we'd just bawl the tits off of people. But the state of Trump at the minute is unreal. Obviously, you know, the chickens are very much like coming home to roost at the moment. You know, he's just been charged for the January 6th insurrection. He's about to potentially lose all his businesses in New York. So at the moment,
oh, really?
So at the moment, they're waiting on a civil judgment that the Attorney General in New York is asking for $370 million for the complete dissolution of the Trump Organization and for everybody in Trump Org to be banned for basically ever running a business in New York ever again.
Oh, man.
Wow. He's fucked there. He's already been convicted in a civil case of rape. He's gone back in this January for like a second rape and defamation case that if the Rudy Giuliani ruling is anything to go by, Rudy Giuliani, the ex, you know, mayor of America,
uh-huh,
you know, during 9/11, he got fucking $148 million judgment against him for saying that two black women in Georgia were padding ballots when they weren't there. He'd been out there and basically ruined their life, and they've got $148 million. And now Trump's gone back in for defamation on this rape case, and they're expecting similar style judgment, same as like the Fox News, a $787 million judgment.
But he's like, still running for fucking president.
But
he's still running.
Technically, he is, but he's starting to bleed votes.
Colorado blocked his ballot.
They've expelled him for the vote for being an insurrectionist, as of Michigan. That's now going to the Supreme Court. He's invented this term called absolute presidential immunity.
Do you know he's still favourite, though?
So at the moment he's the front runner, but there are people in the primaries that are coming up. Nikki Haley seems to be coming up quite fast behind him. She was the Trump's UN ambassador when he was there the first time round. She's, I'm a moderate, and we'll see. She, you know, wouldn't accept that slavery was the cause of the Civil War and stuff like that. So they're all still bangers, you know what I mean? Uh-huh. But at the same time, Trump's now like facing what 91 different charges. There's some of the stuff like he's just banky right, so where they've got him on tape. There's one, as I say, he's on tape with one guy going, go and find me like 12,000 votes. And he's like, can I do that? And he's like, it'll be better for you if you go and find me 12,000 votes. Like, and you're just like, you know what I mean? Like, he's fucked. You know what I mean? Like, they, as I say, went to Mar-a-Lago in Florida and found, what, 150 boxes of like classified documents that he literally just stole. And then they've got him on video and on tape. He was doing like background interview for one of his generals. So a guy who was one of his generals at the time was writing a book, and they sent fact checkers to Trump, and while Trump was there, he was showing them attack plans for Iran while they had like tape recorders on the table interviewing him for this book. And he's like, oh, check this out. And he's like, this is what your general sent me when we were going to try and attack Iran. And you're just like, he's showing like classified state secrets to like journalists and like people that, you know, go to members of his golf club have come out and been like, one guy was an Australian billionaire and he came out and spewed, I like, Trump shows me like classified shit all the time.
That's crazy.
Like, we'll be sitting like chilling on a Friday night after a round of golf, and he'll be like, check this out, and be like showing me like state secrets.
That's insane. I mean,
why else become president?
If
I was president, that's what I'd be doing. I'd be like, check this shit out.
Probably why it's best that you're not. I think he's been quite bulletproof up to this point, but it is now starting to chip away. And I think obviously the strength of the American economy, the new as well, like Biden has just done his first election speech yesterday, where he is like, this motherfucker is a tangible threat to American democracy. Like, so he's been doing business up until 2024, and now, let's say yesterday, Biden came out and he's like, let's go after this guy right now by name, sort of thing, which is quite unusual. So I think he's fucked.
Like, see how that plays out.
Aye, so you're talking like March, April time, there should be like proper high-end convictions that'll put him like in jail. And I think the best he can hope for is a plea deal where he goes, I plead guilty to all this so long as you don't send me to jail.
I don't see him going. He's not good.
No, he's not going to do that. But I'm saying his best case scenario just now is to basically like, I did all this, but like, just, you know, take my business, take my money, just don't send me to jail. That's the best they can hope for. It's quite funny that he's been a bit bulletproof on a lot of this stuff as well, because I think the thing that is going to get him the most, or put the biggest dent in him recently, was a thing that was trending on Twitter like a week ago, and it's that he stinks of shit.
I'd seen this.
So it was like Trump hashtags, Trump smells, or Trump stinks.
Trump smells,
And there's like loads of, there's a video, and I'll probably try and find it and like drop it into the YouTube. And it's like him sitting next to like world leaders. And so he's sitting down next to Macron, and Macron's like pure as if, oh, fucking hell. And there's like this video doing the rounds on Twitter of like him sitting next to people in Congress and Senates and whatever it is, and people visibly going, oh, Jesus fucking Christ. Then a guy for the fucking Apprentice came out and was like, we had a dude and he was called Mr. Wet Wipe, and his job was basically to like wipe Trump's ass when he shit his cell phone set. Like, so, but this is the one that's put the biggest dent. No, the crimes, no, the treason, no, the insurrection. The fact that he's a smelly bastard is actually going to get him.
That's a damning indictment for the society that we live in at the moment. Look, we're going to need to wrap because I've got 5 minutes for my next booting.
Yep.
But I've enjoyed the first one of the year.
Yep.
It's been good to get back. And
definitely.
We'll try and, I mean, we've got a new format where we can maybe do like one a fortnight and we sort of kind of stretch it out. So
definitely think we maybe have a wee bit of wiggle room for some guests to start coming
for
back
sure.
in. I know we do the kind of recap, so it might be that we do maybe a wee bit less recaps, and I was thinking maybe do the recaps on a 2 or 3 episode basis where, you know, over the course of a couple of months we trim it down a wee bit to marry a kind of like best of thing, and then take one or two of those slots out for a guest somewhere.
Do folk ever comment when we ask them to?
We've been getting in the last year or so, more comments and likes and stuff like
that. Do folk want to see guests?
I don't really know. I mean, we still get folk reaching
out. This is us asking now. When people, do you want to see guests?
Well, that's it. Aye, when people comment, they're usually commenting about what we're talking about and like their opinion rather than. But I think it would be good to get a guest or two and maybe try and trigger that format where we bring the guest into this rather than when the guest comes in, it's about the guest. Yeah. That's just what we used to do. We bring them in and we talk about like the current events or whatever. But I'm absolutely gasping for a piss. So same. I'll let Matt wrap up on. I'll go for a piss.
No, I need a piss as well. I've drank a whole bottle of water. Guys, great to have you. Happy New Year and see you again.
Cheers.